Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. We have already started the conversation tonight on At Home with Victoria inside the chat room. Hey, thanks for being here tonight. I am Victoria Gaither, the host of the show, television news anchor, reporter, as well as, I guess some would say, TV personality or media personality. Michael Kay is also with us tonight. He's producing inside the chat room, and also he is our entertainment co-host as well. So a big shout-out to Michael. Well, we have actually already started the conversation in the chat room about what we're going to be talking about tonight, and we're basically talking about a way that all of you out there, doesn't matter the location where you live, that you are able to help military widows and also single mothers. Especially I think the need is out there for both of them, single mothers and military widows. I think a lot of times when with all of the, you know, things that go on around the U.S. and, you know, moms and fathers and, you know, your sons and daughters are out there fighting for their country, you know, unfortunately all of us know, and I know too often because I have to read that on the newscast, that many, many of them do not make it back home. So I was so happy to hear about this nonprofit organization called the Workford Foundation, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. They've got a gala coming up, so we're going to talk about the gala and also how you can continue to support the Workford Foundation, and we're going to go ahead and get the founder of the Workford Foundation on the line, Fathina. I believe that's how you pronounce her name, but she'll certainly correct me and let me know. So let's see if we can get Ms. Workford on the line because the foundation is named after her. Hi, Ms. Workford. Victoria, are you with us?
Yes, Victoria, I'm here.
And how do I pronounce your lovely first name? I hate to butcher people's names. How do you pronounce it?
You did a good job, but it's Parthenia.
Oh, okay. Well, I was a little
you
bit
were close.
Now, I know, but see, when you say it, you sound so much more sophisticated, like you've got a little accent on it. So I could never get it correctly the way you say it.
Oh, I've had 49 years, almost 50, saying it. So I'm pretty much a pro now.
That is too funny. You know, that made me think of in television news at one point, a TV station where I used to work. Of course, I was Victoria, and then our meteorologist, her name was Veronica. So for some reason, people, in, you know, they even work with us, the other reporters and producers and videographers and management, they would always call her Victoria and call me Veronica. And whenever we would go out on speaking appearances, you know, the people in the public would always say, hey, Veronica, how's it going? And at first it used to be funny to me because I was thinking, who are they talking to? And then she told me that she had the same problem. So we realized, oh, they're just getting our names confused. So.
Right.
In any event, so tell me a little bit about the foundation and also, more importantly, why did you decide to start it? Because it certainly is something that is needed, especially today in America.
I started the Workford Foundation actually on paper in August of last year while being on short-term, then turned into long-term disability for my hip. Had a hip replacement. Mm-hmm. So I said, what am I going to do with myself? I'm so used to working 12 to 14 hours a day, not being able to breathe. Now I'm at home doing nothing, getting a little stir crazy. And then I said, well, hey, something I've always wanted to do since I had my daughter in my junior year of high school was to help women like me who may have the misfortune of getting pregnant and having. Everyone wouldn't necessarily have the love and support that I had. My mother and my family were awesome and still are to this day. Just like my mom is just like my best friend. And so I wanted to be able to reach out to single mothers that may have a baby and, you know, they don't know what to do now. Some of them weren't as enthusiastic or had a supportive family like me. Like I went back to school after 2 weeks of having my daughter in April. Finished out my school year, took one class in summer school, went back to my senior year, graduated, top 10% of my class, and finished it out. But I knew that, okay, I couldn't, there was no sense trying to apply for a four-year degree because at that time in the 70s, 78, 79, there was no babies in college thing going on. So I did not want my mother to take on the responsibility of raising my daughter, although she would have done anything for me. That was my mistake, which turned into a blessing, and I wanted to be responsible for it and just let her be supportive of me from afar. I didn't want her to have to raise another child. My baby brother was already in high school, middle school almost, so it was no sense in it. And she didn't have a baby, and she didn't make the mistake I did.
Right,
I worked for a couple of years, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to have to do a little bit more. So my grandfather, my mother's father, had talked to me one day about going in the military. And I was like, Grandpa, why would you want me to go in the military? I'm the only girl of all these five brothers. Why don't you ship them off? Mm-hmm. He was like, I just think it would be good for you. I said, but Grandpa, I don't like to be dirty. I get my hair done once a week since I've been four.
Right.
I'm the prettiest little
all
girl.
My stuff.
Yeah. What am I going to be doing in the dirt and all this crazy stuff? He was like, I'm just telling you, you have to do it. I just want you to think about it as an alternative. You know, they give you, they have great benefits. They have education available. You know, all the good things that the military has. You have a uniform. You got a place to stay, you know, and it would give you a little structure for you in case, you know, something that you won't get right away out here in the civilian world.
Exactly.
And you surely won't get to do in college. So, God rest his soul, he was murdered like, almost a year. Well, he was murdered on December 28th, 1980. So I thought about that whole year. And I was the last family member to see him alive that day. And for some reason, he gave me a hug and kiss that day, and we never had done that. We normally did that in the afternoon because his stepdaughter was babysitting for me. But something made us stop that morning and hug and kiss each other. Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. In less than an hour, I get a call that somebody murdered him in his shoe shop. So it's been pretty traumatic. But a year to the day of it happening, I went to the recruiting station and signed up. And it was December 28th, 1981. I enlisted, well, actually went to basic training in February of 82. And went in the Army and retired February 2002, 20 years later.
That is awesome. So, I mean, so you, you know, and I'm like completely speechless because I wasn't thinking that you were going to say that you retired from there. So basically you kind of listened to your grandfather, you did it, and you made the decision, but not only did you stay 2 or 3 years, you stayed for quite some time.
Yes, I stayed the whole 20 years, and I had my second daughter there. So now I actually have two daughters, 32 and one just turned 25. And while other people may think that there are mistakes and whatever, it's a mistake that you made, but the children are never a mistake. God gave you those children.
Absolutely.
And you need to understand what your role is and what their role is in your life because you just don't ever know. And for me, my children gave me the strength to endure anything. I've been through some of the worst circumstances, but I still come up smiling and tougher as ever. So,
I'm sitting here thinking too, now I really get the part about the foundation and why it's important for you to help military widows, you know, because you and I I've seen you at functions, but we've never had the opportunity to actually have a discussion about you, your background, and what you do. So now I really get why military widows is very, very important to you. Now, during your time in the military, did you personally come across a lot of, maybe not a lot, but any women that actually became widows as a result of their husbands?
Yes, when Desert Shield, Desert Storm, well, I always worked for four-star generals in the military, and generally I was lucky enough to work for the one who ran the stateside operation for Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I was in Atlanta, Georgia at Fort McPherson, and so a lot of the troops there deployed along with the reservists, and I actually knew people who lost a husband or a wife over there, and just to watch them when their spouses are deployed is enough to break your heart.
Or when they go to
a field exercise, that's 30 days or 45 days. They can't even function. Back then, they didn't make the spouses do what they do now, which is ensure that that other half knows everything you know about finances and all that stuff. So some of these women, even now, though, these younger ones, widows that I'm running into, they don't know anything about managing money and, you know, none of that. They weren't. They didn't do that part. That was the husband's thing. He just kept it to himself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or she's just too young.
Exactly.
At 20, she didn't. You know, she's out of high school, married him, had two little babies real quick, and all of a sudden I'm a widow with two babies, and you want me to do what?
Right, right.
So,
I wanted to get back to the point. I wanted to get back, just quickly touch on the point that you made when you talked about the whole thing of deployment, that in itself will break your heart. I've had many, many, many opportunities in my television career to cover deployment and also to cover military troops when they're actually coming back home. And, you know, they get off the airplanes and the ships and stuff. And I have to tell you, like, you know, as reporters and news people, we're supposed to be pretty straight-laced and supposed to, you know, pretty much be able to hold it together.
Yeah.
But every single I used to hate it when they would say, oh, we're going to send you to recover this story. I hated it just because I knew I was going to be a wreck and I had to be on camera. My mascara was going to mess up because I always would cry. I mean, I don't care, you know, I don't care who you are, you know, unless you're just crazy and you literally have no heart whatsoever. There's no way you can be in a situation like that and it not touch you somehow, especially when the babies are involved and they're leaving and they get on those buses. It's like, you know, numerous times I remember just telling my photographer, you just go ahead and shoot it, and I'm going to go in the bathroom and kind of hang out, only because I knew if I stood there that I was going to be one of the people that was going to start crying, and I wasn't having anybody deployed or shipped anywhere. But I just wanted to touch on that because talk about break your heart. Oh, my goodness. It tears you apart to see that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you, if you have any ounce of human in your body, just that whole scene, to see it real, you'll cry on TV watching it.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan or, you know, the Forrest Gump one or whatever. But to see
it real.
And that whole hangar or whatever they're in – clears out with the spouses and the wives are just in there. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very, very, very difficult. I had the opportunity many, many years ago to go over to Dover Air Force Base in Dover, Delaware.
Yes.
And cover, it was a welcome back ceremony. But the family, they had already been reconnected with their loved one. It was something that the military base had given. I think it was something like Family Day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And our television station went there to cover it. But what struck me about that, the soldiers, the men and women were already back for, I would say, about 2 weeks. But just being in that environment, the way, you know, the kids were looking at their moms and their dads and the way the spouses were looking at each other, you literally would have thought that those people just got off an airplane or off a ship at that moment because, you know, the kids and each other, they were just smiling and just beaming from ear to ear. I mean, it was just kind of like this surreal sense that I had being there, that they couldn't believe after all of these months or years that their loved one was actually right there in front of them. It is a pretty amazing thing to experience, yeah.
Yeah, and to see them come, like my kids went to school in the DOD schools, you know, and Department of Defense schools. So to just see some of the parents come back from just, like I said, just a field exercise. For those kids to see them back, it was like he had been in Vietnam all his life and just now retired.
Right, I know.
It's really, really sad. Yeah. So I saw some of that. I knew some of them personally. So I figured, okay, I'm a single mom, and I know about being a single mother. I tell you, every struggle, I can help you out with any part of that as a mentor. And I can tell you the value of education because I went from associate's degree to bachelor's degree to one master's and two master's, then a grad certificate, and now I'm working on a third master's. And it can be done
kids.
And you can do it with kids. You just got to know that when you have a child, it's not about you. It's about it's about them. It's not about
you.
Well,
and you know what I think, too, and you know what I think, too, getting back to the point that you made the top of the hour when we started talking, just that one word, support, is so key, because there are so many women out here that you have spoke about that, unlike in your situation, you had a mother, you had this great support network around you to help you. But you know, I just find more and more just in my everyday travels and, you know, on assignments and talking to people, that there's so many women who just simply, honestly, are kind of out there by themselves, and they just really don't have that. I mean, it's something when you have somebody in your corner saying, hey, you know what, I know you had a setback today with Sweetie, that's all it is, you can do this, you can do this. I mean, you know, I think sometimes just to hear another person say you can do this, you know, is greater than somebody giving you $1 million, because it helps your self-esteem.
Oh, because her own grandmother, of course not my mom, but his mother, told me to my face, if I had my daughter, I would never be anything, and no one would ever want me. What'd she tell me? How did she say it? You will never be anything, and nobody will ever want you if you have your daughter. I said, okay, well, let me deal with that. So
right,
I always
exactly.
let her but, see what a blessing that she, my daughter has been to me.
Mm-hmm.
And how
that's
my
amazing.
Daughters, both of them graduated a year early from high school and had nothing but excellent test scores. And just stellar
excellent
students.
Grades.
My youngest daughter graduated from Benjamin Banneker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the magnet school you have to apply for in D.C. And
that
my oldest one,
wonderful.
She skipped the school year. She had 1070 on the SAT in like seventh grade. She was taking classes at Duke University in her between her fifth, sixth, and seventh grade college classes.
Wow, now that is very, very impressive. I'm not sure what I was able to do at that age myself, but that is very, very impressive. Let me just take a moment, if I can, and just thank everybody. We don't have a lot of people in the chat room tonight, but I do want to thank all of you that are out there that have us on your computer. You've got your BlackBerry, all your mobile devices are on to listen to the show. So tonight we're talking about the Warford Foundation. Now, you've got your first annual Black Tie Benefit Gala on Saturday, October the 16th. Starts at 6 o'clock and it goes until 10 o'clock. And I think, is it at Andrews Air Force Base? Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we're actually having our first annual Black Tie Benefit Gala. It'll be next Saturday from 6 to 10 p.m. It's a black tie affair. So we have a formal program. Happy hour starts will be from 6 to 7, and we will have live jazz being played and some art being sold. And then we will have a formal sit-down dinner at 7:05 to about 8:15. And then I have Miss Olivia Fox, prior radio personality in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
She will be my mistress of ceremony. And then my guest speaker is my president of my board, Cheryl Harris Turner, and she's actually my best friend from middle school, and she's a registered nurse, and she's working on her PhD, and she's actually teaching the 2-year nursing program that we'll be offering assistance with.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. I'm getting a few emails in. Michael inside the chat room says now he wants to go. I'm getting a few emails in, and one of the emails is asking about the tickets and are they still available, and also the price. And I know you were going to do something a little special for anybody tonight listening at home with Victoria.
Yes. The ticket sales are closed off to the public tonight. Well, basically already, just about, because there's no way they can get me the money right now because I was having checks being
right.
mailed. But if for any listeners, and you, Michael, of course, if you would like to attend, you can go to my website, http://thewarfordfoundation.org, and then you'll click on the tab at the top that says Events and Activities, and then you'll see Events, and then you will see the event, and you just go click on it. You need to register. Register tonight if you can, but I will give people that are listening today until Friday. I would like for them to register today, though, at least.
Okay,
so I can get
I
my head count.
Okay.
If I can get my head
okay,
count.
Okay, so let me just go back over that. Well, first, We do have your website inside the chat room, which will also appear when the show is over. Plus, I put your website inside my show information. So, guys, just go to the website, look at the topic, we'll say event, click on that, and then register on there. So if you're going to do it, just try to go ahead and register tonight. You can always go back later on tomorrow or the next day to get the information in terms of location and all the, you know,
well,
all
the
info that you need for.
It takes
okay,
it
great.
Straight to the it's a Cost and Contact event, so it has all the details for the whole event in there already. So then all
right,
we would
well,
need
I wanna...
to do is they could just send me an email, and it has a just send fill in the form on the thing on the website that says contact me. Contact me and let me know you were listening tonight, and then we will work out your payment arrangements by Friday.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you for that. And, again, although the official closing of payment was tonight, she is extending that if you're listening tonight and you actually want to go. So just go to her website. And, again, the website information is all over the place. Plus, I'll post it on my wall on Facebook on my fan page. Michael's got a fan page as well. And just hit the click events and then register and send the email, and then she'll work out the payment with you if you actually do want to attend. But I just think that that is awesome. And now it's just really good for me to now actually get a chance to see why, you know, you're focusing on single moms and also military widows as well. And it's as basically as a result of your background. And I just think that's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And I know if your grandfather was here, and I know he is looking down, I mean, he would be so proud of you. My goodness, that you know, you made an entire career out of the military. I'm just blown away by that, because I was not expecting that you were going to say that. So I am very, very super impressed with that.
Thank you.
20 years is a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, it's no different than really working on a job for 20 years. It's no difference.
Well,
only thing
is difference. No.
It's serving my country, of course, but I mean, like, it's
exactly,
a real,
yeah.
It's an office type job or whatever kind of job. Yeah. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, well, that part of it, yeah, you know, it's whatever your job is, they also have the job parallel to non-military people. But
right.
The fact of the matter is that it is different, because to actually go in and enlist and sign up to serve your country, I mean, it is just for that mere reason, you know, in itself, it is different. But I understand what you're saying, the work and all of that
yes.
sort of stuff that you do.
Although I never
got
those good 8-to-5 jobs. Working for 4-star generals. I was in the office at 6, and sometime I may get off at 8 or 9, and then I would be home for about a couple of hours, and they would call me and say, the general is sending the driver over to pick you up. There's 30 letters you guys have to do tonight to all the chiefs and ministers of defense in Europe. All right.
And you're back out the door.
And I'm back out with the driver, and I'm there to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, go home enough to lay down, take a shower, and come back. So, yeah.
And come back right. Well, let me ask you this last question. Can you believe 30 minutes have basically already gone by? I know. Yeah, it does. I always tell people before they come on my show, and they say, well, Victoria, how long is it? And I say 30 minutes. And they're like, 30 minutes? Are you crazy? I can't talk 30 minutes. And I'm like, trust me, it goes by so fast. It literally feels like you've only talked for 5 minutes. So, yeah, it goes by really fast.
Yeah.
But to tag on to what you were talking about, my last question was to ask you, what is it like to work for generals? I mean, that just sounds so like, wow. Because a general is a general is a general.
Especially the 4-star generals. That is you can't get any higher, except for working for one of the Secretary of Defense, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's how.
So what's it like? What was it like being in that atmosphere? Is it always tense, or is it like
I always treated each one of them as if they were equal to me. As far as you're just a man, I'm a woman, we put on this uniform the same way. Only thing is I have a bra on and you don't. I have same boots. You know, I have everything the same that you have. So
it's a mutual respect.
They were very cool. Yeah, and they liked me a lot more because I was not intimidated by them. So where I may have come to be the backup to somebody that traveled with them, I generally was moved up to be the main person traveling with them or whatever. They preferred being over to other people because they were a little bit more tense with them. I laughed and had a good time with them, and I just was relaxed with them. I didn't make them
nervous. I was going to say, I could see that. I could see that in you because just the interaction that I see with you on Facebook and the time that I've had to spend around you, I could, you know, your personality is one that it's very down to earth. It's very relaxing. You know, when you're serious about talking about something, you are, and you demand respect, and, you know, so you're very easy to get along with. So I could definitely see that. I got to quickly get one question, and this is a young lady who sent me an email. This is from Florida and Gainesville. I guess she's in Gainesville, Florida.
She's a Gator.
She's a Gator.
Gator girl.
And so your Gator girl wants to know how many places have you traveled? Did you do a lot of traveling with your job?
I was stationed in the States in Louisiana, Atlanta, South Carolina, and D.C. area where I retired. I served overseas in Germany and in Belgium.
Well, I would say that's quite a bit. I would say that's a lot.
But that doesn't even count all the trips within, you know, with the general. I was at the Rome Peace Talks and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty. I've had such a great career. I mean, I missed that part.
Well, I want to give you another job, as if you don't have your hands full with the foundation, and you need to write a journal and turn it into a book about all these different places and, like, the peace talk and all that stuff that you've actually been to, because it would be pretty interesting to read something like that from your perspective. So you should think about that.
I'm not trying to add any extra work on.
Yeah, you should. You know, it's just interesting and more so because of the type of job that you had being in the military and working with those generals. I mean, that's something that none of us ever get to see. You know, even in movies, you see it just a little bit, but, you know, they don't really focus on it too much. But I don't know. It's just a thought. Or maybe
I thought about it because it's part of who I am now and starting out. And then I was able to maintain those jobs. And everywhere I went and I didn't want to be in one of those jobs, they stole me and put me in a job for my reputation. So it was amazing to still have those type of jobs and still have my two daughters, and they do as well as they did.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I know you'll definitely be back on again. We only have a minute left, so I'm going to let you go so I can give out the information once again. But please come back and visit. And I still haven't figured out if I'm able to make it on Saturday, but I promise you, you know me and how I am. If I can make it, then you'll see me walk through the door for sure.
Okay. Well, I'll have to know because I have to put your name on the list. So I'll just go ahead and
call you. Okay.
I will definitely let you know. Okay.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you guys who are out there listening to the show today. Michael is asking, about languages, do you speak different languages? That's very, very funny. But in any event, if you have time, you know, even if you're not able to make it to the Black Tie event on Saturday, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if you still want to donate, it is a nonprofit, so you're more than welcome to do that. It's called the Warford Foundation, Warford Foundation. And just Google it or, you know, go to any of my sites and right here in the chat room. And, you know, I think you should definitely, definitely take a look at it, give it a second look over, because she's doing absolutely wonderful work there. And, again, her focus is on single moms and also military widows. And, of course, I find out tonight, and that is as a result of her 20-year service to this country, being in the military. And I'm just blown away by that, and I'm just excited that she was able to be on the show tonight. But, again, that's the Warford Foundation. The Black Tie event is at Andrews Air Force Base, and it's on Saturday. It is her first annual Black Tie Benefit Gala. So just go out and support the cause. But in any event, before we get out of here, thank you so much for listening. We didn't have a lot of folks in the chat room tonight, but 13,000 of you listen regularly, so I do thank you for that. Plus, congratulations to my sister, Tubman Elementary School in D.C. They won this really big award, so I'm very happy for them and the principal there, Mr. Hughes, and a shout-out to all the teachers and staff and my sister, Yolanda Gaither. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We're back on tomorrow night. My sidekick is with me, Michael Kay, co-host. So I will see you guys a little bit later on. I'm headed over to Facebook and then probably some dinner. God bless and have a very, very good night.